All right. I'd like to start by saying good evening to everyone, to those I didn't speak to earlier. Tonight, our topic is Bettering Myself Glorifies God. And I appreciate you, Victor, picking that specific song. I was either going to ask you to leave that one or This Little Light of Mine, but I couldn't find it in the book. So that one was perfect. So Bettering Myself Glorifies God. And our scripture is coming from Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And it reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And so here we see Jesus in Matthew 5. He's continuing his Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about our Christian influence. And he compares the Christian life to two things. Two prominent things, the salt and light. Now, there are many properties of salt, many benefits of salt, but I just want to focus on one, and that's preservation. Salt can be used to preserve, if you would, or to not just preserve life, but to prolong. That's the word I'm looking for, to prolong something. For example, back when they didn't have refrigerators, they had these things called ice boxes. I don't know this firsthand. This is just what I've been told and what I've read about. And so I couldn't imagine not having my fridge or my mini fridge. It just wouldn't work. But they would take meat and they would cover it in salt to prolong the life or the expiration date of that meat. And in the same way, Christians, if you ever really think about it, Brother Chad mentioned in our class earlier how America, we are watching America dissolve right before our very eyes due to sin. And have you ever wondered why God doesn't just come back and end it like he did Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, if you really go back into the account, he had asked Lot and Abraham even, "If I could find this many righteous people, would you spare it?" What did God say? But he couldn't find any. The righteous preserves life. It does. And I'm a firm believer that there are a lot of Christians still living in America today. Regardless of how much darkness is in this world, how much sin seems to be running rampant, there are still bearers of the light. There are still people who have salt and they have not lost their flavor. They are preserving, if you will. I truly believe that. Not only that, because of the gospel. The gospel, that which brings life. Now, in a world filled with darkness, let's move to the next thing. So that's salt and then light. In a world filled with darkness, Christians are supposed to be the light that leads people to Jesus. I know this to be true because scripture proves it. We have examples in Acts 26, 17 through 18, Romans chapter 2, verse 19, Ephesians 5, 8, Colossians 1, 9 through 14, 1 Peter 2, 7 through 12. I know I went fast, but I'm trying to do a Devo, so if you would like those scripture references, please see me after Bible class tonight. So us being the light of the world, I kind of want to break down verses 14 through 16, and we'll go by phrase, if you will. It says, "You are the light of the world." And so again, us being that light, what type of light are Christians to be? And again, it was mentioned how we're not the light that blinds people, we're the light that leads people. We're not necessarily a flashlight, but we're a lamp. It says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, I am a firm believer that that city that's set on a hill, it's talking about a city being elevated. And we as Christians, we are citizens. We are, if you will, a city. We are the New Jerusalem, if you will, New Zion. And that we know Zion was the holy city of God. So the Church of Christ is indeed a city. Now, when you think of a city, you don't think of one light. If you ever see the city of New York at night, or even if you go down to Orlando, Florida, and you stay in one of the hotels on the other side that you can afford, right across from Disney World, you can see the light show that Disney puts on, and it's not one big light swinging around. It's several lights in many directions, and all it does is to attract, to draw. The Church of Christ is like a city that has many lights. As a church, we're supposed to shine our light as a collective. John 13:35 says, like, people will see us. They will know that we are Christ's disciples by the love that we have one for another. As a collective church, Christians, there's a light that needs to be shined. But then he says, nor do they light a lamp. This is individual light. It goes from a collective light, worshiping on Sunday, worshiping on Wednesday, showing the world what true worship looks like, to an individual light, showing the world what an individual Christian ought to look like. I don't know where you work or where you go to school, but I can't be the light at your job. I can't be the light at your school. That's an individual lamp, not a city. Christians should never hide their light, nor should they ever be ashamed that they are the light. An example of hiding your light would be having an opportunity to do good, but then deciding not to do it. Galatians 6:10, as you therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Also, being ashamed or hiding your light would be choosing to repay evil for evil or trying to get even with someone. Romans 12:17-21 speaks against this. An example of being ashamed to even be a light would be deciding not to speak the truth or do what's right because of what others might think of you or what they might do if you did speak the truth. Now, here are some biblical a biblical example of being ashamed is John chapter 9, when the parents of the blind man, after Jesus heals this blind man in John 9, his parents are then questioned, how was he made able to see? But for fear of being put out of the synagogues, they said, you go ask him, he's an adult. And that's John chapter 9, 18 through 23. Now, a biblical example of not being ashamed would be the apostles as they are preaching in Acts chapter 4 and in Acts chapter 5 when they are imprisoned and beaten and told not to preach anymore in his name. And they stand up boldly and say, we cannot preach but the things we have seen and heard. For the apostles would rather fear God than men. This is not being ashamed. We must remember what Jesus said concerning the matter. Matthew 10:32-33. If you would confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever is ashamed to confess me before men, him will I also be ashamed to confess before my Father which is in heaven. So let us seek to be like the psalmist in Psalms 119, verse 46, verse 80, and also verse 116. Please read that when you get the chance. Now the next phrase, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. I believe this is edification. I believe that Christians have two ways in which they can shine their light. That's inwardly in the house and outwardly in the world. I believe as Christians, we're supposed to shine our light even amongst each other, because sometimes as Christians, we stumble and we fall and we need someone to help pick us up, to help guide us, help keep us, help correct us as that iron sharpens iron, if you will. In fact, I know this is true because Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. New King James. King James says, be an example to the believers. And I believe the King James hits more strong on this verse because he's instructing Timothy that as a Christian believer, you be the standard. Not the standard, it's Jesus' standard, but you help them to see what it would be like if Jesus was right there in the church that you're preaching to. You help the world see what a child of God looks like in word, in conduct, in purity, in love. You be an example to the believers. So let your light shine. It says this lampstand will give light to all who are in the house. And I know the church to be a house. It is the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. But then he says, let your light so shine before men. This is outwardly. So we go from edification to evangelism, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. People ought to be able to see what a Christian looks like and how they treat other people. There are only two ways. Well, not only, but here are the two ways I'm going to list tonight. There are only two ways I'm going to list tonight that a Christian can glorify God. Number one, in Matthew 5:16, how we treat others. Number two, 1 Peter 4:16, how we respond to the way others treat us. Two ways a Christian can glorify God: how we treat others and how we respond when others treat us. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The life that you live can glorify God, whether that be good, Matthew 5:16, or whether you're suffering. But it also shows that there's a certain way a Christian is supposed to handle suffering. And so my question to you tonight, if you are a Christian, have you been doing good so that others can see you? Or have you been doing good so that others can glorify God? Have you been allowing your light to shine? And even when you suffer, like we spoke about in the class, even through persecution, the church grew. Have you been suffering in a way that other people can still glorify God? And if you're not a Christian, I need to let you know, your suffering does not bring glory to God, and the good that you do does not bring glory to God. If you would like to glorify God by bettering yourself, won't you be a Christian today by hearing God's word, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, and being added to the church by being buried in the watery graves of baptism? If you are a child of God, but you haven't been allowing your life, whether good or bad, whether good works or suffering, you haven't been allowing it to give God glory, won't you come forward and ask for prayers as we together stand and sing?